Blog Talk Radio.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and today I'm excited to bring you a conversation with Catherine Caputo of 360Me, a digital initiative that empowers individuals to become authors of their own healthcare stories. The mission of 360Me is to transform healthcare by changing the focus from the system to the individual. Ultimately, the goal of this project is to make a difference by creating an environment in which everyone can lead happier, healthier, more fulfilling, and kinder lives. Catherine, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you on.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm really excited to be here. And thank you for that introduction. You couldn't have said it better.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. Yeah, it really reached out to me, and I was super fascinated when I came across your project on Kickstarter. I know we've talked a little bit via email before this conversation, and as I said, I'm super fascinated by the topic of healthcare. And on A Kind Voice Radio, our mission and our philosophy is to feature stories and people who are making the world a kinder, more connected place, one story at a time. And I just love how on your website you talk about individuals becoming the heirs of their own healthcare. So, yeah, could you give us an overview and speak a little bit to that to begin with?
Yeah, well, so I think most of us have a personal experience about healthcare being done at us, and probably most of us even have a story to say that if we're healthy, we're going to actually avoid healthcare. And you know, and I think that that's unfortunate because without us, I believe there is no healthcare. Why would there need to be providers and payers? And I think somewhere along history, that was not the case. I think that providers, doctors, there used to be town doctors, and they would make visits to families and individuals and make sure that they are doing well and taking care of them as best as we all can as individuals. And, you know, down the road in history, we've gotten to this place where healthcare is really about a system, about the payers and the providers and the interactions they have and then what they do to us as, I don't even know if we're humans, objects. And you know, that really became more of a reality for me when I had my daughter 10 years ago. And I realized I don't know a thing about what I need to do, but I need to bring my child to the doctor's office so often, and I felt unprepared, and I felt like I didn't know what to expect or what I was able to ask in the way of questions, and I was just told what to do, and it was just not a very good experience. And I wasn't able to capture all the information except for what they could give me. You know, and 10 years later, I have a 3-inch thick binder that I still don't know what to do with. You know, and so I just thought, you know, there's got to be a different way to do this. And I would say this idea and this thought had been percolating since then, and only recently in the last couple of years became more of an opportunity to explore when I, in my career, had the opportunity to take a break and really think about, you know, where do I want to be as far as giving back to our society if I have a chance, improving the way we live, and healthcare came along.
Yeah, and your background, correct me if I'm wrong, is in like strategy and design, right? So you said you took a break from that and kind of were thinking of a way to give back. Could you talk a little bit about how your professional background, helped with those or gave you skills to help with that, and maybe what inspired you along the way?
Yeah, sure. You know, so I never aspired to be an entrepreneur, amazingly. I do have the interest, and they, this is where my background has been, is really in strategic planning and implementation with the discipline of program management. So most of my career has been helping organizations put in new environments, new infrastructure, even new technology. So for me, seeing something change and seeing an environment improve improve has been an interest and a passion and a skill of mine. And so, you know, I spent most of that time within organizations, helping organizations grow and mature, never really thinking that I had the interest or even maybe the skill to grow, start a new venture altogether, and was really comfortable in that area. But, you know, there's something about being in someone else's organization or helping another mission that's just not quite all the way aligned to maybe all of your values. And, you know, that really after about 20 years of that experience, you know, you there's a point that maybe there's other life changes that happen that just really caused me to think, you know, this has been great. I think I've contributed a lot. I've helped organizations grow and succeed. What else is out there that's maybe more meaningful, that really does directly impact more of us as individuals, as communities, you know, just more directly in that regard? And again, I think that's when I started to explore, you know, what helps us as people be successful, be happy, be healthy. And one area that I looked at was healthcare, and just amazingly realized, wow, healthcare is for us, except that we're really not encouraged to actively participate, to actively ask questions, to actively learn, and then to be really confident and take control and say, you know what, I'm going to do this about my healthcare, and you, the provider or my advisor, you give me your expertise, help me think through this, and then let me make the decisions, and let me feel confident and comfortable that I can do that. I mean, that whole entire construct does not exist right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And one of the things that really spoke to me when I was reading about your project was that, professionally, like I had done a lot of professionally, I in a previous position had done some research in, you know, patient outcomes in, it was actually like this large scale lupus study. And we were looking at all these different factors that contributed to the greatest, like, perceived quality of life. And this consistently, the single most predictive factor was the individual's perception that they were being made advocates of their own healthcare and that they had choices, and the physician was including them. And then they felt that their disease was more well-controlled. And so it's just amazing, like, when you look at the psychology, too, of just giving people the giving them choices and control and letting them be the own authors and tell their own stories really, really just makes them happier and healthier.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think it's not just information that you throw at the individual. It's really intelligent information. I think, you know, most of us, even when we get information, and we're in the information age, right? So you could easily go and grab and research and take in as much, quote-unquote, healthcare information as you can get. But in today's environment, that you still have to have some ability to make sense of all of that information and figure out how that applies to you and your current situation and your current conditions. And there's very few of us who wouldn't almost immediately get overwhelmed with all of that, feeling you're on your own and you're doing this by yourself. And is there anyone that can help you ask the right questions to help you think? I mean, I think back to when you're thinking about considering, like as an example, you know, what do I want to do when I grow up? You know, good counselors will help you ask the right questions of, you know, what your interests are, where do you want to go, what do you want to experience, and then also help coach you on, you know, what's okay to try and experiment. You know, there's all these parts that are equivalent to taking care of your health where, you know, what are the right questions for me to ask so that I actually better understand my condition, so that I can better communicate my situation, and then better listen to my provider about what's going on with me, right? You know, the providers treat the condition and the situation. They don't know whether they really know you or not, especially if you have a 20-minute conversation with them. I mean, how well can you get to know an individual? You see them for only 20 minutes. So there's concerns on the provider side too. And we have spoken to a number of providers. And in fact, we do have a medical advisory team that has been helping us think through how to develop this environment for us as individuals that actually will help the provider help us in our care. So I don't think that we have resistance from providers as providers. They're really interested in having those good conversations with the individuals to help them really understand, you know, here's your condition, here's your situation, have you thought about this, what's going on here, and really putting those pieces together and really solving it together. I think that that experience is desired on both sides, individuals and providers. I just don't think the system today is really making it productive for either side.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's definitely a symbiotic thing, and it helps to build the more that the individual is aware and is made to feel like it has the information and knows how to use it and can engage with the physician and the physician can engage with the individual, then it's it contributes to that rapport and that trust, and then the individual might, as you said, be more likely to like actually go and seek healthcare rather than avoiding it. I definitely agree with all of that, and I love what you're doing. And also, yeah, it's funny. I heard a piece of trivia that recently, like the average doctor visit lasts like 14 minutes, and the reason is because, you know, the doctors are so overwhelmed with billing and documentation, and they don't really get a chance to know the patient, right? So it's like, what's that statistic? Like 11, they interrupt the patient within 11 seconds. So it's, But I don't know, you know. Yeah.
Well, the experience is almost like check the box, right? And part of the checking of the box is us coming into the appointment and being asked what for us is an experience of the litany of same questions, you know, our family history, previous condition.
Right.
I've heard from so many individuals that, don't you already have that in your records? I mean, this is the funny interaction,
yeah.
Is that if you stay with the same provider, why do you keep asking me this? This should be in the quote-unquote records. And then here's the reality of today is that most of us are pretty mobile. Most of us take our career in different directions, be in different geographic regions. And so really practically speaking, we can't take our provider with us or even a provider network. And yet our information is there, not here. And so I've heard from others that we would just be very practically simply great if we could just take our information, whether it's a quote-unquote medical record or not. I should have a place to just automatically and digitally store my history, my outcomes, my test results that matter to me that the next provider might ask. And, you know, the next provider almost never asks, what's your medical record? They usually ask a very similar set of questions. So why couldn't we just gather that information and be able to digitally provide that instead of sitting in an office 15 minutes before our appointment, filling out this form, and then spending 14 minutes with the provider? It's just not an overall, practically speaking, good experience. So if you encounter an even more complex condition, just imagine how much more fragmented and disjointed and uncomfortable that experience is.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said this started about two years ago. Did you... Now, the name 360Me, I think of a circle. Is that, did you come up with the name after the concept, or where did that come from?
It came definitely after the concept. We did a lot of talking. There was a small group of us that was a combination of professionals, actually from all walks of life, that included, you know, from technology arena, from healthcare, just everywhere, just in our own individual experiences. And we talked through, you know, all the issues and experiences that basically each one of us had. I mean, some of us had major medical events, most of us were at different phases of our life. So it was really, you know, talking through all that we were really coming up with the idea that we really wanted an application or a platform that allowed us to capture and interact with our health from beginning to end, right? And most of us were talking about the fact like, well, wouldn't this have been great when we were born and that we'd have all that information with us for where we are today? And, you know, when you looked around the table, we were all at different phases of life, yet we all had the same common experience, and that was the disconnection we had with our information. And so when we were talking about that, we're like, whoa, what the hell, 360 me, one of the individuals throughout. It was really about, you know, talking about ourselves, really looking at ourselves in a 360 degree, not as a patient, which, you know, by the way, we don't spend most of our life in that title, us our entire life. And that's really what we were looking at and talking about. And, you know, and 360 me ended up on the table, and we all looked at it and said, yes, that's exactly it. When we're healthy, when we're not, when we're going through a medical event, when we have major life changes, that's all. It's all about us, 360 me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like the circle of life, and you're sitting at this round table and looking around and seeing people at different phases. Yeah, I love that metaphor. It's so, yeah, your logo, too, is very, very representative of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to delve more into some details of how you went from the idea to the execution. I know you said you spoke with, you have an advisory board. We do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's get into that.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing wrong with reaching out when you need. I'll be there for you, and maybe you can be for me. With a kind voice, a few kind words, an open ear for when you need to be heard, a warm heart, we can make that choice. Be a kind voice, a few kind
voices. Hi, I'm Kathy King, founder and executive director of Canines with a Cause, and I use my kind voice to create awareness of the importance of companion animals in our world and their ability to heal a broken soul. Canines with a Cause rescues dogs from local animal shelters. The dogs are placed with incarcerated women where they live and train as comfort companions or service animals for veterans battling PTSD. We also provide free training classes for the veterans, which enables them to develop skills to train their own dogs and become experienced handlers. The dogs provide the veterans with many benefits: simple companionship, motivation to get out of bed in the morning, and unconditional, non-judgmental love. Learning to train a dog also helps the veterans out of their homes and get involved again in civilian life. It helps them develop emotional coping skills and resiliency. The dog and handler create a strong bond through working together, and the dog is trained for specific tasks to help the veteran lead a more productive, less stressful life. Canines with a Cause strives to make the world we all share a kinder, more connected place. We do this by healing through unconditional love. Separately, it's difficult for a dog in a shelter, an incarcerated woman, or a veteran suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder to share their kind voices. But by creating a channel process to bring them together, they can be a kind voice to and for each other. If you would like to know more about Canines with a Cause, visit our website, canineswithacause.org. Thank you.
A kind voice radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm Jessica Grinspan, and I'm talking to Catherine Caputo of 360 Me. Catherine, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we were talking about how individuals can become the author of their own healthcare experience using medicine as storytelling, and 360 Me is a digital platform that will allow people to do that. So, yeah, you told me a little bit about how you were inspired by your passion for healthcare to start, you know, your own idea. How did you go from the idea to the execution, and what kind of advice and
You know, so I think a lot of the conversation and realization actually started with where I was with healthcare for me. And when I was talking about this idea with a number of other individuals, you know, about where can we fix this, we initially started our conversations around ourselves and, you know, and focusing on when is it the most difficult for us. And it was really during major medical events when you were diagnosed with a condition or you were involved in an accident or something and you had to have some type of major event whether it's surgery or a massive recovery, rehabilitation. And we, in research, we were finding that, you know, the readmission rates and reoccurrence rates were really high during those transition times from actual medical care to self-care and getting back on the road to being completely healthy. We were wondering, you know, what's going on there, and was discovering, you know, that there was, any time you make transitions, there is an assumption and a reliance on knowledge being transferred from one to another. And so we were really struggling with how do we capture that. And I think, you know, just diving into those conversations, one of the things we realized and struggled with was, you know, when you're talking about in mid-event, in an idea, it's really hard to build a structure and an environment that allows you to capture your past, your present, and then plan for your future. And I happened to be talking to a friend about this idea of how do we, you know, just simply as a life cycle, help individuals make the appropriate appointments, review what to expect at these appointments and get ready for them and understand what questions to ask, go through those appointments productively, and most importantly, come back out of it with the results that you need and the instructions and the follow-up care, all of that. You know, I was saying all that to this person, and she just interrupted and said, you know, I can see where you're struggling, but, you know, this, I would have loved this for my son when he was first born. That's when I would have been most interested in adopting this, because what you just explained would be exactly what I would have wanted, and I didn't get any of that understanding. And, you know, and that was when we focused, I think, when, you know, where the idea, the concept, the construct was, yeah, let's build this model around a newborn. They don't have a lot of history that an individual would struggle to put that past into. We can start by educating individuals around what that care is. Why do you need to go to your provider? What's the examination about? Right? And in that act of doing all that, we can build the technology that allows you to capture the information you want. Right? We could build out the entire environment so that it tells you at 3 months your child is going to expect the following tests, the following vaccinations, et cetera. And if you say you've completed all that, then the system would just automatically track and keep all that for you. You wouldn't actually necessarily need to rely on your medical records from that point forward, because at that point, 360me is tracking with you all the way through. And if that information is being captured, well, then we can, on the other end, pull reports for you, like vaccination history, that you now need to go and give to schools or daycares, anywhere that requires that in order to care for your child or have your child in that environment. So we were thinking, wow, if we built and started there and had the infrastructure and created the experience, then maybe we can figure out a way to then include everyone from that experience's perspective, and then address what and whether you really actually needed everything from a medical records perspective, or is it really we're looking for what do you need from your health history perspective? And we can still more easily capture that than just grabbing your records. So that's really how we started that and how we focused and how we got to the design and the concept that we have today and the audience we're focusing on today to begin with.
Yeah. Oh man, I really love that. So you said that the providers themselves have been very receptive to the idea and that it would help them as well. How did you get your advisory board on board, and what were the discussions like with them as you were coming up with this?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the very first thing I did when I was moving into and exploring the, kind of, if you will, the healthcare environment, I was fortunate enough, as I was also looking at making some career transitions, to find an opportunity to work within the healthcare environment and also with a fairly new organization that is looking at trying to provide care in a different way. Now, of course, that's still coming from the provider network perspective, but it allowed me entrance into that area to learn more about how healthcare is thought about and delivered from the quote-unquote system perspective. But, you know, by being in that environment, it gave me exposure to the medical community as well. And it's never been a challenge for me to just go and ask and leverage the connections that I'm introduced to. So I've been, you know, asked for contacts and introductions to medical directors. From there, really, it was just in kind of like if you know two people, et cetera, you get introduced to more and more of the provider network. And how I like to have conversations is really one-on-one, to really dive into their experience as well. And I would say consistently, from the feedback I've had from all the providers I've spoken to, it's very much, you know, it would really be better for us to help care for our patients if our patients could be better informed, better equipped, and confident about their part of the conversation and what they bring to the appointments themselves. So it's been very consistent in that regard, and that's in those conversations how then obviously you can approach the request of, hey, would you be interested in advising and helping? And I have not yet received a response that says, I'm not sure about that. There's been actually,
right.
Oh, that would be really terrific. This would be, I would love to help out with that. Just let me know what I can do. So that's what we're figuring out now is what can we do?
Yeah. Has your, like, from the time that you had this initial vision over time, what challenges have you faced and how did you overcome them?
Well, you know, I think the two most significant one, and I think we're still dealing with them, is, and maybe it's a little bit of a what you might call a chicken and an egg, right? It's the challenge of getting enough interest to provide the funding needed to create the product, right? It's going to be a technology platform, and so there's a lot of development and design of the capabilities themselves, bringing in the ability to identify appointments and calendaring, you know, just the actually basic technology, but then also intelligent technology. So just having the funding to help get those expertise, bring the expertise together, and then just start. I mean, we have a design, but we really need the knowledge to really create that. I'm not a developer by training or nature, so, you know, I need to fill that area. And then the other challenge is that. And interestingly enough, in a town that you might say is known for its technology savvy, it's very difficult to find the right expertise. And it could be that I, you know, in that area, I haven't quite broken into the right areas to find those resources. But I would say that and the funding are right now our two biggest challenges.
Yeah, well, this seems like a good place to bring up your Kickstarter campaign and how people who are interested in this and want to transform their own healthcare can get involved. So for our listeners, I do have a link in the show notes to your Kickstarter page. Do you want to discuss that campaign?
Sure. I think we're halfway through. We may need to come back and try it again. I think the very first time, I think our group really was thinking that, hey, if we can make this, it'd be really amazing. But we also are looking at it as a learning experience. And, you know, again, like everything we're doing right now, it's learning. It's an incredible amount of learning in activities and events and efforts that, frankly, I've not had to be exposed to before in my career and the work that I have done previously. So, you know, again, the Kickstarter has been started. I think it's halfway through. It's focused on getting the initial funding so that we could create that initial prototype that is focused on new parents and newborns so that we can get exposure to, you know, what the process is that we're thinking about, what the technology could do for helping individuals just get better engaged in their healthcare. From simple things like going through the life cycle of making an appointment, understanding the appointment, getting ready for the appointment, you know, going through it and then coming out of it. You know, it's amazing what goes into that that we don't even pay attention to or don't even know we're supposed to pay attention to. So just getting that opportunity to create that, put that out to a targeted audience, get the feedback back from them, and then continue iterating from that. It just feels like if we could get through that first milestone, the opportunities to really take 360 Me to all of us could be better seen. We can better experience that, and we could probably better explain and present than the purpose and the mission of the product itself. And hopefully, you know, the trajectory of funding development and getting this solution, this product out to a wider and wider audience goes up on the positive and productive trajectory.
Yeah. Okay, great. And you list some rewards that people who donate to your Kickstarter campaign can receive for their involvement and contributions. Do you want to just go over what they are?
Yeah, well, so since we're mostly an idea and we want to get a first product out, I think, you know, number one, one of our first big rewards is that if you're interested in experiencing what this app can do and the platform that supports it, that's the first thing we would give out to you. And you know, we have different environments in which you could download a local app, which means that you just manage that within your own environment. You would store all your information locally, but you can interact with the intent of what the app would be set up to do. And then another environment would also be that you are part of the 360 Me environment, and it gives you more capabilities in helping you with connecting your information with the information that's available out there, personalizing more of your events to you, giving you that, you know, specific focused information. And then maybe down the road, have you included in other developments and advancements as well. And then also, you know, one thing that I wanted to share about 360 Me is ultimately we really want to make sure that everyone understands this is your information. You will control it. And so part of that means that you want to inform what it is you want. And so we're also looking at, in its initial phases, inviting those who are very interested in seeing where this can go and how this can develop to be part of what we would call, I guess, our advisory board at large, an advisory community at large, where we set up a social media kind of environment, if you will. I'm not sure if it's quite social media, but an environment where we can interact on some kind of a regular basis, whether we're saying, hey, we're going to come up with this new capability, or what area of interest in healthcare do you have, so that we can really have, as much as possible with large audiences, an interactive learning so that, you know, 360 Me really is evolving the way we want it to, the individual, the users, and not just having yet another product that tries to push you in a direction that you may not be interested in going. So I think those are the three kind of big focus areas that we want to be able to build on and offer to those who are interested in wanting to be participating in this initial phase.
Yeah, that's great. I want to talk a little bit more about that, the beta testing I think you have and what the app will look like in your, I mean, I know it's not developed yet, but what your vision is for it and how, if you could walk us through how an individual would use it before and during the doctor's appointment. We do have to take another quick break, but we'll come back and talk to you some more.
Hi, everyone. This is Brianna, and I'm here to deliver your good news report of the week. Positive news stories happening within your community shared in hopes of making your day a little brighter. This week, we'll be highlighting the kind actions of a man for a story that will definitely serve to be food for the heart. Roberto Mendoza is a man who formerly held the prestigious title of White House Chef, providing his services to a roster of impressive names ranging from presidents to celebrities. Now, on a whim purchase of a lottery ticket turned win of the top prize, Mendoza is using his winnings to extend his service to homeless communities as well. Following his departure from the White House, he had begun managing a restaurant and serving those in need of a meal in Charlotte, North Carolina. However, during a recent visit that Mendoza's mother made to the U.S. from Guatemala, she shared that she had a positive feeling that her son would win the lottery. Though initially reluctant, he listened to his mother and purchased a $5 scratch-off ticket from his local convenience store, only to find that he had been the lucky winner of the top prize, $250,000. After taxes, he was able to take home $176,000, and he decided to allocate the remainder of that money to complete the construction of a kitchen for the homeless in the Dominican Republic. This kitchen is an initiative to feed the hungry that branches from the work of Mendoza's foundation, The Chef. They have seen much success over the course of their run, having been able to serve over 300 children. Now, what is the motivation behind the kind actions of Mendoza, you may ask? For him, it's personal experience. Knowing how it feels to be hungry himself, he vowed to never leave other people to endure the same circumstances if he could help them. And help them, he certainly does. Today, let's thank Mendoza for making the world a kinder place, and always remember to spread your kind voice. I'm Brianna, and that has been your Good News Report of the Week.
Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm Jessica Grinspan, and I'm talking to Catherine Caputo of 360Me. Catherine, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're talking about having individuals more involved in their in their healthcare decisions and becoming the author of their own healthcare stories. And this is such a great platform, and I really, really do hope that this can become a reality and an app that both individuals and their providers can use to transform the healthcare experience. Could you, pretend I'm a person seeking medical care, either for me or for my child? I know you've gotten into this a little bit, but what is your hope for, how a person who's getting ready to schedule a first appointment with a new provider could use the app to take control of the experience?
Well, we have designed, if you will, what they call wireframes for that experience that goes from scheduling all the way to coming back out of an appointment. And one of the things when we were designing it that I thought was interesting was how fragmented that whole entire experience was. That, when you schedule your appointment, that's all you get is the logistics of scheduling your appointment, the who, what, when, and that's pretty much it. We want it to be more than just a calendaring event. We want you to really understand what it is you're scheduling. And so the intention in the app is to actually help you in the first stage schedule your appointment, but also know what appointment you're scheduling into. So as an example, in our first audience, targeted audience, if you're a new parent and your child is due for their 3-month health exam, then it would pop up to say, based on just something as simple as putting in your child's, if you want to give them a name, their gender, and when they were born. That's really all we need to be able to bring up the rest of the information that would help you say, hey, your child's 3 months old. Is that the appointment that you're looking for? And you can say yes, and then it picks up your pediatrician, quick information that you would have done once, and then it starts to connect information. And I think from an experience perspective, it's kind of one of those, wow, what it is that I'm trying to do. You know that it's my child is 3 months old, it's time for that health visit, this is their pediatrician, let's pull that all together, let's get that appointment made. So that's that whole act of just getting the appointment scheduled that I think makes it a better experience for us. And it starts to include us because it's really making sure we're paying attention to what's going on. And then even before the appointment, what we want to do is be able to send a reminder, 24 to 72 hours ahead, whatever you want to set, again, letting you drive. And it's not just an appointment reminder that says, hey, in 3 days your child has an appointment. It's actually going to ask you some questions to say, would you like to review this appointment now? Or would you like to have another reminder later? Maybe we didn't catch you at the right time. I mean, how many times have we had reminders where we're like, I can't deal with that right now, right? And so that allows you to say, hey, no, I want to review my appointment. What is that all about? And here's the thing that will be really, I think, different, is that instead of bringing back up just your calendar reminder, it brings you up a template of all the details of, you know, what the appointment is, who the appointment is with, where it is, what time it is, but it also then gives you the information of what you should expect at a 3-month health visit, right? These are the vaccinations that you may be getting. These are the tests that might be happening. Here's the results from your last health visit so that you can see any changes. And oh, by the way, at the bottom of this, it allows you to add any notes or questions you want to have since the last visit. That experience, I mean, how many times have we had that? Where there's something that comes back to you that says, hey, you have this appointment. Oh, and you might want to think about all these things. Right? We presented that to new moms, and they were, oh, my gosh, I can just see that after I put my baby down for the night, I can pick it up and say, okay, what do I have to do tomorrow? That would be so terrific, is when they have a moment to think about, you know, she's been having a cough. I wanted to ask about that. She hasn't been eating very well. I wanted to ask about that. You can't, I mean, you know, your day is so busy and so frazzled, especially as a new parent, that by the time you get to the appointment, like, I think I have some questions. I don't remember. And not only that, I don't know what to expect at the appointment. So just really that experience alone allows for a calmer and more confident entrance into the appointment itself, right? And then by having that app, you could just, again, pull it up on your phone and during the appointment have the conversation with your pediatrician, and we presented this to a couple of doctors as well, and they said, wow, that would be, yes, we would know how to have a conversation because, again, we're not with the individual when they're not with us. We don't know what happened out there. And so if there's a better way to prepare the individual for the conversation, then as a provider, I can ask better questions, right? So that's just going through to the appointment. The nice thing about having all this captured is that during the appointment, you can jot down notes, you can check boxes. We really want to, over time, add intelligence so that as you're putting information in, it's really understanding and taking you in different directions of, you know, is this what you're trying to do? And so you're really just confirming, validating, and adding your information to your own profile. That, again, after you leave the appointment, all that information is with you. Imagine this, starting from when you started the appointment scheduling. Wouldn't that just be amazing? All that information stays with you. All that information started with you. That just changes the entire experience from just blindly scheduling an appointment, showing up, answering their questions, and leaving.
Right. It's like you walk out the door. I mean, that's so true. How many times is it like, oh, man, I was so, you know, I felt really rushed. Like, I didn't have time to ask this. And then you spend all this time afterwards like, oh, I need to get back in touch with my doctor. Is there a way that you can, for example, like, let's say you have some questions that you want to ask beforehand or maybe have sent to the physician beforehand so that the doctor is prepared to answer those when you get there. Is there a way to, like, to send that your questions and concerns, like your notes, and have them sent to the doctor or the provider so that that can be added to your chart or address, like, before the appointment?
You know, that is a great idea and suggestion. I know that technology exists for us to do that. I mean, we can send messages today. I think it's a matter of just putting that into the workflow, if you will, of giving an option for an individual to do that. I think that one of the things we have learned is that depending on your provider and the network and the structure that they have, that could be a conversation. Having the capability would give you the ability to have the conversation with your provider to say, hey, next time, would it work for you if I sent you this, right? The reason I say it that way is that we've encountered many stories that say, you know, I try sending my questions to the provider to begin with, and they don't even read it. Well, I think having these capabilities available at your fingertips gives you the ability to have those conversations with your provider, right? You can start off in an appointment and say, hey, doctor, so I have questions, and you know, I want to build a relationship with you. Would it be helpful the next time we have an appointment if I am experiencing some situations that I send those ahead of time for you so you can review? I think that, again, giving you more information and allowing you to have it all together enables you to have conversations with your provider team in a different way than you do today. And the technology simply just exists that if that's what we want to do is share information, we already have the capability to do that today. We just want to set it in the right environment that allows us that in conversation, if we agree this is a good way to do it, you have the ability to do that. But I think the emphasis and the importance is it's encouraging and building better conversations and better connections.
Yeah, I love that so much. Yeah, you have the opportunity to drive it. You're still writing your own healthcare story rather than having it read to you by the physician, and you can. It's a collaborative process, and I love that emphasis on collaboration. And the other thing that's interesting is I've heard, I don't know the statistics off the top of my head, but I know that another factor that is predictive of better physician and individual relationships is like whether the provider like uses the person's name or pronounces it correctly or knows off the bat like what pronouns do I use to refer to you, like stuff like that that maybe the person could have put in their chart through 360Me or whatever platform, so that it's already like building this. From the provider perspective, they have the tools too to write their own story with including the individual and just create those conversations.
Yeah, I want to also be clear that although we won't be capturing your medical records, one of the intentions of 360Me is to be able to also connect you to that, right? So the core of 360Me would be capturing your story and your information the way you want to look at it, but also its capabilities is to connect you to the information you need as well. One of the realizations we had was, and other organizations are already trying to do this, right? Trying to get to your medical records and pull all your data and put it in one place. And then it stops, and the question is, well, what do you do with it then? And, oh, by the way, the information was already there. I mean, it was already accessible to you. It was just basically fragmented, right? It's in different provider networks and different locations. Really what you wanted was a central place, if you will, that focuses on you first and then allows you, from your perspective, to reach out to what you need to grab. Right. Whenever you look at your medical records, you don't ever really need the whole thing. You just need the right information from each of them. What we want to do is build a technology that allows you to basically continue to reach out to your medical records, but only reach out for the things you need. And that to me, but going back to my 3-inch binder experience, I capture all that information out of fear that I won't have the information. But have I ever actually gone back and really referred to it? Not really.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not easy. Right. It's, what page do I want to thumb through? What am I looking for? If we have this digitally captured, we can apply some intelligence to say, hey, I'm looking for all the allergy results, or I'm looking for all the test results for my glucose, or what have you. So electronically, we could tap those research capabilities and pull that information together and allow you to, again, see your holistic picture. And I think in the beginning, 360Me really is focusing on developing these capabilities for the individual so that they can start a better, more confident conversation with their provider. We have heard back from the provider team and the individual, too, that it would be really great to see this product mature to the point where, again, and I want to emphasize that the information in the environment is owned by the individual. So you specifically would be the one who grants permission, if you will, who can see what. And so if we were to evolve that to the next level of capability, if you and your provider decided, we want this two-way communication, before I come to an appointment, I'd love to have you be able to review my records. I mean, isn't that amazing to be able to say my records and they're really my records?
Right. It's taking ownership of it, yeah.
Yeah, and then to have a view granted to the provider so that they can log into the environment and from a provider's perspective see what my history is, what your history is, and be able to, come into that environment better prepared to ask questions. And I think this is interesting, is medical records don't necessarily provide that perspective of you, whereas your records would, because they're your records. right? And so
right.
It might even be a better experience for the provider to come into that environment and take a look at what you're interested in, what your questions have been, what you've been logging, so that those 14 minutes, if you will, of conversation are really highly productive. And it's not just diagnostic, and it's not just focusing on the condition. It's actually focusing on you, all of you. You know, and
right.
I guess as a result, reinforces the 360 me idea. It's looking at all of you, not just a part of you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that concept so much. Yeah, that makes total sense, because as the, you know, when it's patient driven and the person has ownership of their own medical records, it's not just, you know, what they put in there, it's what they choose to share, what they think is important, what is priority. And I guess that can give the provider the opportunity to know, oh, this is how I can connect with the individual, because he or she like put this at the forefront, and this is what they're most concerned about, or this is like the impacts on their life that they, you know, impacts are so important too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Oh, to say that we did have a couple examples of that the parts that's missing in the appointment to conversation are the things that happen in life. Like, you know, did you have an accident in the kitchen or at the park or something that you didn't think about that? You know, there's a lot of activity that goes on, again, outside of the title of patient that could lend color or perspective or context to a condition that you might be having a conversation with your provider about right at that moment. That's always excluded at this point because you just don't know, right? But if you had this environment that allowed you to track, oh, I fell when I was at the park with my child, and you know, I don't know that it was a big deal, but I bumped my head, right? You could do things like that where there's a pattern that a provider then can say, oh, and a day later you did something in the kitchen that, you know, was maybe indicative of a concussion. I think those are the types of information that is missed today that maybe earlier diagnosis could have prevented other major medical events, things like that. So again, I think focusing on the individual itself and providing a platform that allows someone to really become more aware and understanding of their own conditions really can contribute to the care of their health and helping providers care for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, we do have to take one more break, and then when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about your visions for this in the future. We'll be right back.
Okay.
The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive.
Hi, I'm Bruce Grammel, one of the original hosts on A Kind Voice Radio. My song, The Alchemy of Kindness, is about the good things that happen when kind voices come together. What you're about to hear is a message from Claire Bloom, who is using her kind voice to feed hungry children. We hope that you'll help Claire with her mission and make our world a kinder, more connected place, one act at a time.
Hi, I'm Claire Bloom. In 2011, I started End 68 Hours of Hunger in an effort to overcome childhood hunger right here in America. There are more than 16 million children in America who are hungry between the free lunch school on Friday and the free breakfast they get in school on Monday. And what we know is that if we feed these children on the weekend, they can achieve 50% higher reading scores, 30% higher math scores, and are twice as likely to successfully complete the third grade, which is a primary indicator of high school graduation. To find out more, I'd love for you to be in contact with me. We have a website at www.end68hoursofhunger.org, or you can email me directly at end68hoursofhunger@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice Radio. I'm Jessica Grinspan, and I'm talking to Catherine Caputo of 360Me, a digital initiative that empowers individuals to become storytellers of their own healthcare. Catherine, welcome back to the show. This has been such a great conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
So assuming that you receive the funding for this and the Kickstarter page says that the estimated launch date is in January 2020. Is that correct?
That's what we're thinking, yes.
Yeah. What are your goals for? I know you have to get some developers and the logistics of getting this started. But what's your vision for this and next steps?
Our vision and our hope is that we get this product created and out in the hands of parents, new parents. The initial capabilities that we want to build for our individuals from birth until at least the age of 5, because there's a lot of different kinds of appointment types and conditions that and milestones that the individual goes through in that part of their life. I mean, if you are lucky enough to be healthy most of your life, that is a part of your life between 0 and 5 that you see your doctor the most, and maybe even more if there's a condition you're dealing with. And so to me, that's a really great way to build that experience of awareness and understanding, and then having that confidence to really start driving your healthcare, even if it starts with your parents, right? At some point, you will take it over. And so our vision long-term is really, again, from beginning to end, your parents will start it for you. You get to a certain age where your healthcare transfers to you, so you start taking it over. And get this, here's the really fun part about, having an app that really focuses on individuals is you get to decide, how you care for those that are under your care, so like minors. But on the other half of that is, as you or our parents start to age, then there's the ability for your children or others to care for you and to have that continuous information, right, that allows all of us to stay connected. And so, what's our longer, what you would call my audacious vision is that we are a much more connected community of people who care for each other, starting at the family unit, but going further than that, non-traditional definitions of family. It's important for us to feel like we have the ability to care for ourselves, care for each other, and be cared for. And I think having a platform like this that allows us to share our own information and be in control of that, and allow others to participate with us, is a way to get there. So that's my big vision, is to really have us all connected and sharing that information. And really, maybe even over time, helping us stay healthy together and recover together. Providers can only provide so much, but most of us go through the experience. And I've heard so many stories of, when I was diagnosed with this, I wish I had known. Here's the thing. You get diagnosed wherever you're diagnosed, and that may not be where others have experienced it. So could just having a platform like this and then building an environment around that allows us ultimately and down the road to reach out and find out who else has had that experience, I think can really help us go through our care in a much, much more fulfilling and productive manner.
Yeah, I love this focus on connection, and it's connection between individuals and between individuals and their providers. And there's so much opportunity, and it's just this, you think of it in a more global sense, like the 360. It goes full circle. It's such a neat idea. I really just love that metaphor and that imagery. And I know you said you have you've talked about your audacious visions and goals. Can you see this branching out into other areas of healthcare? Like one thing I'm really passionate about personally is mental health, and I can see this being such a great platform for people to take charge in areas where, a lot of people. Vulnerable populations like the elderly or people who have diseases like schizophrenia, those kind of conditions, and they feel so powerless, like this could give them a great sense of control. And even if they need a little extra help because of their cognitive limitations, this is a great way to make them feel empowered. Have you thought about branching out that way, or is that kind of down the road at this point?
I think that would be a little bit more down the road. We thought about the opportunities of where else it could go in healthcare. The one thing I think that 360 Me, I think we had a vision for down the road was connecting other resources to individuals, right? Again, what we're wanting to do is focus on ourselves from beginning to end, our life cycle, right? And for all of us in our life cycle, we may all experience a blue day, some of us more so than others. We may have major diagnoses. We may end up in a major medical event. I mean, if you're lucky enough to live a long enough life, you will have increased chances of having all of these experiences. What's really amazing out there right now in healthcare are all of these, if you will, technological capabilities that allow for individuals in certain conditions and situations to leverage those capabilities to help them. I think what's funny is like healthcare right now is on two sides. It's either so fragmented and so focused on the payer and the provider that you're left out. On the other side, in response to that, there are so many apps and so many technology offerings that focus on, you know, very specific things, monitoring your blood sugar, monitoring your mood. But, you know, that's like, how many of these apps can you wear? How many of these things can you actually, you know, stay in touch with? So that's another experience where we're thinking about, too, is you're either out or you're overwhelmed. And what we love, again, the premise of 360 Me is really, who are you? What do you want to focus on, and how can we bring in the right capabilities for you? So speaking to your question of the mental health area, you know, there's trackers already now, and I know of a couple of entrepreneurial organizations that are looking at how to better support those who have health issues in that area, What could we do down the road to connect those capabilities? So maybe not so much build those capabilities, but bring them in at the right time for the right individual. And that to us is also, you know, that long-term audacious vision. Wouldn't that be great that this serves as, if you will, a control panel of a dashboard that allows you to say, here's what I'm dealing with today, what's out there that I can leverage? And really, it's not to diagnose you or tell you what to do, but it brings you back very focused and specific options. And then you select, right? And it could be a technology, it could be a group, it could be a cohort that you want to sign into. All of this is the intention is you self-drive. What we do is create and bring an environment to you that better informs you, helps you understand, and then helps you make your own decisions.
I love that so much, and especially because it aligns so much with what we're trying to do at A Kind Voices. We have all these stories, and we have guests like yourself, and they each have their own unique story. But we like to think that they're all part of this like bigger tapestry of kindness and stories that are all connected. And so the way that you're you have this platform that's like taking the person's life cycle and making them the driver, and then there are all these other opportunities and connections that can possibly be created, and you're giving the individual person the opportunity, putting them in the driver's seat and letting them select those pieces that fit into the bigger puzzle and eventually it's just this greater tapestry. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Catherine. This was such a great conversation, and I'd love to have you back on the show sometime after you get funding and launch the product, because you have such great things going on. As one more question, what kind of advice would you give other people who have a similar passion like you do, who want to, you know, create some sort of initiative like this to bring more kindness and connection to the world based on the success that you've had so far?
I would say, the one thing is don't give up even when you feel like you want to. that's been an experience for me. And I think to help with that, the second one is surround yourself with those who really believe in what you can do and are really interested in helping. I love the fact that you talk about connection and network. And, you know, I think that the more connected we are, and I do wonder how can we do this better, is the more connected we are, I think the more miraculous things can happen in a way that should be more expected, right? I mean, miracles are wonderful, but I think they can happen more often if we are more connected and we do have a way to share what we all know and what our experiences are. I think amazing ideas come from that. And I will share that 360 Me is not just my idea. It is the idea of all the conversations that have come since I started asking the question. And I think that's the other, maybe the final one is don't be afraid to ask a question. I never thought about that before. I used to ask and still do ask quite a lot of questions. But I think that's the one thing maybe most important of all is don't be afraid to push that question out there and see what happens.
Yep. Yeah. I've talked to guests before, like step out on the edge of vulnerability and great things will come. Put your passion out there. Well, thank you so much, Catherine. I really, really appreciate it. This has been a great conversation. And for all of our listeners out there, don't be afraid to take Catherine's advice. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't give up and do your part to make the world a kinder, more connected place. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, hello, fellow soldier. How's your day? Come take my arm. Walk and sink away. I want to know your thoughts now. Yes, it's true. And that blue bird, he flew by now just for you. You step outside, you don't know who you'll meet. Feel the bitter patter of the street. Let go, come link elbows with me. A friend.